Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Well, hello. You find me today, Richard, honourable member of the British Empire, standing over the two accused. Abigail, you are accused of papacy. Is that the word? You are a
No, I think that was
papist.
to papacy is
Papist.
when you support the Pope, isn't
I think that is right, is it?
Yeah, they did. That's what they were saying to the priest.
Right, shut up. That is the voice of JB, who is accused of witchcraft and idolatry. Is that another one?
Oh, idolatry.
Idolatry is like having a false idol, like worshiping Satan or something.
They would have burned me just for having the audacity to tell them to fuck off.
Interesting choice of language in the 1600s, that would be. Also, I'm a cat, Abigail, so already you have a familiar. You're bound to have some sort of birthmark or something. You don't need much to be found guilty of witchcraft. Mainly just be able to be pointed at seems to be the
Exist in the vicinity.
if this exists in the vicinity of the finger of a man in a funny hat with big boots, and you're in trouble. Yeah. Anyway, it's not a mock trial for witchcraft or a real trial. It's just a podcast about films. And that's the guys. I was just getting a bit confused. I really just wanted to use the word papacy and idolatry, and I couldn't remember them properly, or even if I've said them right now. But just it's a weird thing to be accused of and shouted at you.
I mean, I'm sure in the 1600s it was more of a, oh my God, what did you accuse me of? Rather
How
than
dare
a,
you?
what? than it is now.
You've been suckling at the devil's tit or whatever.
Yeah.
Love the devil back then. They love banging on about the devil. Okay, they're obsessed. Anyway, this week on the podcast, we're dealing with the Witchfinder General. I say the Witchfinder General, I mean the film Witchfinder General from 1968.
But it is about the Witchfinder General.
The big famous one, Matthew Two T's Hopkins.
Matthew Hopkins.
Matthew Hopkins.
Wasn't Welsh. I don't know why I said it like that. But
No, British.
Hopkins, I was like, was he Welsh? But no.
Yeah, he's a relative of Anthony Hopkins, who would, of course, have burnt at the stake for ventriloquism in the film Magic. Yeah, anyway. Witchfinder General, that's Witchfinder one word, apparently. It's from 1968. It was directed by Michael Reeves. Do I know who the writer is? It's also written by him and Tom Baker, not that Tom Baker, surely. No, that's okay. Not Doctor Who. Yeah, him and Tom Baker wrote it. The original writer was Ronald Bassett, I guess. There we go. Three writers credited. And it stars Vincent Price, Ian Ogilvy, Robert Russell, Nick Henson, and Hilary Dewar, and a few other people. And is about Matthew Hopkins and his assistant, what was it, John Stern? Is that his name? Just check. The less famous, but also equally twatty, John Stern. So it is about witch finding in the 1600s, and a real man from history, and is I guess two real men who did witch hunt more than anyone in old what do they call it in this. East Anglia, that's the region of England, Kentish area, right? That part of the globe, Britain. That's what East Anglia is, Kent and stuff. I think they had the red cliffs of Dover. They had the White Cliffs, red with the blood of witches.
We did have a couple of random regional accents, though.
Yeah, we had like a couple. We had a couple of like a Welsh guy and an Irish guy, both with horses to sell.
Oh, you forgot as well that a key member of the cast, the Irish guy played by Wilfred Bramble, Arrowed. He's back again after being in what was the other one that we did? The gangster one, the gambling one. The
Gambling
Small
one.
World of Sammy Lee.
Yes. He was Sammy Lee's gopher,
Yeah.
wasn't he? Yeah. Yeah, we have a little mini run of his stuff, I guess. He worked.
But yeah, the Welsh farmer who sounds and acts appropriately dim. That's
Yeah.
the way he's presented in this.
Yeah, I mean, I think also you, when I said it was good to have regional representation in it, you pointed out something about the Irishman, didn't you?
The Irishman was begging for more money.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't Scottish, so that's something. Yeah, but you know, it's fundamentally set in England in the 1600s, back when witch hunting was a big thing. The English Civil War was happening. My understanding of history tells me that I remember it was King Charles versus Oliver Cromwell. Well, King Charles's guys—they weren't the Roundheads. What were they called? They were called loyalists, but like, what did they have a nickname? The non-Roundheads, long-haired bitches.
God, I you're a fucking
Yeah,
asking some questions
but
now.
some of the English, and this film brings it up, which is quite in a quite funny way. There's like a fisherman at this who's like, I didn't even know there was a war, mate. You're gonna have to help us out with this, smuggling the king out of the country. I don't know what war we're having, because I am a fisherman and I'm not concerned with that. But you know, essentially, there was an English Civil War. It was quite significant to history in Britain, but unfortunately, both sides. Twats. Oliver Cromwell, pious up his own ass, Christmas banning, music hitting twat. And then, you know, a king. You can pretty much guarantee a king is a bellend. So that's my takeaway from this piece of history. That's all I care. Both bellends. It affected politics for a long time to come. We could have got rid of kings back then if it wasn't for how shit Oliver Cromwell was. We could have been done with it. We'd have like a president. But no. He was so shit, they put another king back on the throne. Anyway, during that time period, there was a man called Matthew Hopkins and a man called John Stern.
More balance.
They were like, they were into the whole claiming everyone's a witch and getting paid to basically murder innocent people, mostly women. And this film's about them.
Not just murder them in incredibly creative and bizarre and horrible ways.
All right, torture them, then kill them. Yeah, with one of the biggest fucking lawyer loopholes you've ever heard of. Like, just fucking, like, literally a catch-22 of, if we dunk you in the water and you die, you're innocent, but if not, we'll kill you. Fucking hell.
It's fucking, oh God, it's unbelievable, but at the same time, absolutely believable because people still do stuff like that. Like,
We
I
just, you
just,
know, we
it's
just.
that way of arguing that drives me fucking mental because it's like there is no correct answer here, is there? There's nothing that I can say.
Yeah, I mean, this time period give us the phrase witch hunt, which we now apply to everything, justly or unjustly. And like, he's a real bastard from history, but that makes him a good candidate for a horror film. But it's not quite a horror film. I thought perhaps this film might have been even contained some paranormal. Maybe you could have played it a little bit like there was something up with some of the witches or something. I don't know, but it plays it literally historically, close to home. Like, it doesn't play it literally accurately, but it's kind of going for realism rather than anything too scary. Has anyone seen this before or heard of it? Abby, had you come across this before?
No, I hadn't heard of it. But you mentioned there that it's not really a horror film because it's just what happened. And that's what makes it so much worse. It's like, oh, you actually did this. That is so horrendous.
Yeah, the film kind of plays like, well, before there was the Saw movies and we perfected torture porn, this is just how in the 60s they did torture porn. And I think, you know, some newspaper people were like, oh, come on, this is just disgusting torture over and over again. Abby, I think you I mean, I don't want to assume you agree with the 60s critics of this film, but how did you describe this film to me after you watched it?
It's just people screaming for an hour and 28 minutes.
So you don't approve, you don't like an hour and 50 minutes of screaming.
No.
It was broken up by people trying to get hold of horses. Like, a large part of the plot. There's three things that happen. People screaming due to torture or being shot or whatever. And then there's Richard, the soldier, banging the shit out of his wife. And then
Way.
there's people trying to get hold of horses all the time. Those are the three pillars of this film, really. Anyway, so you hadn't heard of it, but you did you expect it to be a horror film, like more in a more like something that's more sinister to it, or like a
Well, Vincent
mystery
Price
film?
comes with a certain set of expectations.
Like sucking your blood or something. Is he a famous vampire, or is he in ones of it? Because a few people play famous vampires, but then there's a few who are just like evil devil worshipping,
He's
or you
more
know.
of a spooky house concierge kind of person.
Yeah, good phrase. Spooky house concierge. Yeah, Satan's valet. Anyway, it came with connotations of like Hammer horror films that are like more traditional. But yeah, okay. Jamie, had you heard of not which you might have well heard of the Witchfinder General in history, but had you heard of this film before?
Yes, but only like it's one of those on my radar films as a spooky film nerd. Generally, it's one of those films that comes up in various, lists and listicles and things. But I think I had the same expectation, but and again, because Vincent Price, like it, you do tend to associate it, like especially like our generation. I think you think Vincent Price, and you immediately hear his like voiceover from the Thriller music video, and the laugh, and like and yeah, you expect a sort of kind of cheesy, tongue in cheek, the more kind of colorful,
Macabre,
campy,
yeah.
kind of macabre, kind of campy, over the top horror,
Yeah.
which this very much wasn't. And I was kind of taken aback by this film really from the start. Like it throws you in and kind of goes, yeah, this is what this is. And
Starts wonderfully with a hanging of a woman
it's and
screaming.
and some screaming.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck me, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Apparently the director was not happy about Vincent Price being cast. I
Something to
guess
do with the
because of
studio saying you have to use him if we're paying, sort of thing, something like
Yeah, and I
that.
think it was probably because of those connotations that we, those expectations we had, is probably what that dir the director was like, well, this isn't some fucking, Hammer horror over the top, whatever. Like, I'm making a
Yeah.
historical thing. You want me to put this American, hammy American actor in? And then Vincent Price comes in and he fucking knocks it out of the park. I was really surprised by him in this. Like, not
Yeah, he
like he is great. Like, I love that, like, campy, tongue-in-cheek, typical Vincent Price. Like, he's a
Yeah.
fucking, he's like, there's a reason people like know who he is, even if they don't necessarily know who he is, because
Yeah.
like he's just like a horror archetype at this point of in and of himself. So
No,
to
yes,
see him.
his sinisterness comes from a sort of privileged authority, like assumed authority, and a cold, calculated gangster style approach to his work
I've
as a.
never seen him be actually scary in something.
I
So
think
there's.
the thing that creeped me out the most was when he's just telling some bloke who in one of the villages to bring up the young women to be
Oh, yeah.
to just bring up the women, and he starts
Yeah.
unbuttoning his tunic or whatever, and you're
Bring
like, you
the
just
two. Yeah,
bring
basically,
the
it's.
two young ones.
Oh, fucking hell.
So I can
No,
rape
and
torture them as I do
it's.
so often. I'm blasé about it. I've had a
Fucking hell.
scary day today that I've got. I nearly, I like some soldiers nearly got hold of me. I need to relax by raping some young women.
Just how obvious it is that he's like, no. The old ones, they tend to
He
not,
said that
.
they're more sensible.
Yeah, but the young ones need like convince. They tend to be bolder. They need convincing. Like, Jesus Christ, it's so fucking transparent. It's fucking.
I'm gonna dick the witch into you. Fucking hell. Yeah, it's fucked. But so yeah, it's a
God.
genuinely sinister character for him rather than some like spooky guy who
Apparently he considered this, I think, one of his best, one of his favorite roles that he, one of his favorite
Yeah.
performances that he did. I see
I can
why.
see why.
Like,
Yeah. Plus, he looks like a complete tit in it as well. Like, the clothes are so awful. They're horrific in their own way. But yeah, you know, he's sinister. And I think partly they had to rewrite the script for him. Is oh, that must be annoying. He's like, oh, well, it doesn't suit Vincent Price character. But I mean, plus the real historical character, here's some good news. He died before he was 30. So fuck that guy. Matthew
He
Hopkins,
also
he may have got away with it in real life, but he was dead before he reached 30.
supposedly, oh, the thinking is he died of tuberculosis.
That's quite,
But yeah, I read that and was like, well, if that is the case, good.
Yeah, good. Fuck you, buddy. Right, yeah. Because this prick, like 2 years, 300 people put to death of witchcraft
Fucking
out
hell.
of 500 total in the UK at this time. 300 of him and his men and his assistants or whatever. Like, you're like, you fucking massacred people in Kent to make money and then were an inspiration to like a stupid American people later on where Salem's looking a bit full of pricks I don't like. I think
Yeah,
we'll
it fucking
have some
happened again.
witchfires. I just he sort of I think he literally wrote the book on it as well. So
Yeah,
this
he did.
20 something prick has given so much to sadistic scapegoating, isn't it? You know, Christ, what a villain. But yeah, no, in this, you know, Vincent Price is too old for him, but at the same time, has a more cathartic end than the real man. I mean, unless tuberculosis does it for you, I don't know. Anyway, suffice to say, it was a brutal, real look at this time period. You know, it's a melodrama. It's melodrama as well. It's kind of like an
I mean,
action movie in a way as well.
it's like a revenge movie.
Yeah, very
But
much so.
it's still, yeah, it is definitely very, there's things about it that are very 60s. The
The blood
bright red
effects,
paint
yeah,
blood, yeah. But
exactly.
honestly, it was kind of a relief to have a little bit of like non-realistic violence in this.
It was weird, right? Obviously, spoilers. Vincent Price is killed with an axe, or rather, the Witchfinder is killed with an axe at the
Yeah.
end of this, and he goes at it quite aggressively. I felt bad because, like, you're actually just hitting Vincent Price with his prop
Yeah.
axe quite hard. Like, I was like, it looks fake as fuck. It doesn't look like you're killing him, but it looks like you're beating up an actor or possibly a stunt double. But yeah, it's oddly hokey at times. Due to its age and it like budget constraints, that tends to be the way with movies from this era, isn't it? Is they tend to look a bit fake. But it kind of makes up for it by having really good costumes and quite believable character acting and what other virtues? I'm trying to think. Like, it's very easy to film just fields in England and a couple of
Yeah.
old buildings and just what you know, fairly reasonable fake Tudor sets and things. It looks like pretty reasonable, I think. Or maybe the worst one is they go into that tower and it looks like the fucking Holy Grail set for Camelot.
It looks like something from the Crystal Maze.
It's really weird. Yeah. Well, the exterior anyway. And the interior, I mean, whatever. But yeah, I don't know. Abby, you seemed quite all right with it initially, and then by the end you were a bit bored, is that right?
Yeah, sort of ran out of steam for me
A bit, but I think that was mostly screaming. It's
Yeah.
exhausting.
I think it's the brutality of where we go, yeah, it was just a couple of pricks going about on horses, going into towns and be like, hey, we're in charge of whatever your grievances are, let's get some women rounded up
Yeah,
so we can torture
whatever
and
you.
rape them and
Oh,
then.
you don't like this person, do you? All right. Well, allow me to stick some needles in their back and
Yeah.
don't dunk them in a fucking river and then hang them.
Yeah. Sweet. Cool. Yeah. And there's some really bittersweet moments in this, especially when you know find out what happens as it goes on. So the movie starts with a hanging. Then we just, you know, it's the classic some Bible basher reading a fucking Bible verse that means nothing in the context, really. It's just like blathering on. So people go up a hill in really, it's not windy, but there's a hell of a lot of wind sound effect going on. And they hang an old woman, and it's like a line of villagers there, and then we show the reverse shot of the hanged woman, and there in the background is Matthew Hopkins on a horse with his big stupid hat and his doily. God, he doesn't have a doily. Everyone has doilies
I
in
mean,
this.
yeah, half their clothes are doilies.
Yeah, 80% doily. The rest is just tunic and buttons and capes and things. But yeah, it's just this long-haired prick with a big hat and a cape on a horse. And we freeze frame on that and we get a little, the credits roll and just kind of weird graphics. And then
I
what?
really
It's.
like the like distorted kind of blown out images of people screaming over like under the credit.
I guess. There's really a shit ton of screaming, actually, Abby. You're not wrong.
No, I know. That's absolutely what I like I do with a lot of the films on this. I watched it like on my laptop and I had headphones in and I kept having to turn it down and like certain scenes would start and I'd preemptively turn it down because I was like, oh, guy, there's more screaming on the way.
Yeah, there's more screaming than an NSYNC concert, fair play. Just because of how horrible they are, not because of the girl
NSYNC, what a
fans.
timely reference.
Thank you. 1600s, that's when NSYNC were big, wasn't it? I'm all on point, like 2023 to 2024, talking about NSYNC, yeah. So the protagonist though is not well, is accused of being a witch at one point, but isn't a witch, is a soldier called Richard. Which we know because it's said 1,000 times. I think, Abby, you pointed out, what was your criticism of the film early on? Like, to do with the writing, I guess.
There's a level of permission in films and television where you have to say a character's name at least once so that the audience knows their name. But these guys, they did too many. It started to get conspicuous and weird.
Yeah, we know Richard's name over and over again, and Sarah, his wife, who he gets teased about the weird bullying in this from other soldiers of, oh, you a heterosexual man who's getting married and fucking, you love your wife, do you? You've got a fucking shaggy wife. Yeah. We're all homos. Fuck you.
We're all gonna shag each other.
That's what we gotta do. But you're a bloody puff with your woman that you fancy.
Oh, you fancy a woman? That's gay.
Yeah, they do it. They have these. They have Richard, who's a soldier in. Again, they do that thing that they're supposed to do, which is say, "Ah, you shouldn't be thinking about your fiance. What with you being on Cromwell's army? Well, yeah, we're bringing up that we're on Cromwell's army, so you know what side they're on. We should watch out for loyalists, who might creep up on us. Good, right? There, that's who they are." So there's a few of Cromwell's men during this English Civil War going about the countryside, mainly teasing Richard about being heterosexual, until they do get jumped by loyalists crawling through the bushes, the sneaky royalists, scum, fucking Tories, and they there's like a pseudo ambush of sorts. Well, it's a, sort of a, an attempt to steal their horses and stuff. Or the bulk of the guards go away with a commander who's wearing a big doily and a big fucking feather in his
That's how
helmet.
you know.
Well, so he's in charge. He's the biggest, bluest feather you've ever seen. They go off and they leave Richard to look after the nags because, we don't want to be tricked by these bloody long-haired hippie types. Anyway, and then one injured guy comes and nearly shoots the guy in charge, isn't he? And Richard spots it and a nice bit of tension and payoff with the
It's a
drama.
nice
So go
bit,
on.
actually, when he could just hear the fighting out in the woods, but he couldn't see
Yeah.
anything, and he was looking to see if he could see anything, and it was really stressing him out, and it was stressing us out as an audience.
Yeah,
good bit of tension. Like, there's a lot of solid, like, as well as the screaming and horrificness, there's also a nice bit of, oh, unbelievable. Like, he really has you on, like, feeling for the characters when they just miss out on justice or whatever, isn't it? Like, there's a few times, like, it's really brutal when they set up Richard having a fiance, but they also, when he leaves his fiance and uncle, who is a reverend in a local parish that he visits, he leaves them as, like, oh, it's all right, I'll come back and I'll marry you and it'll be good. And then he passes by the horrible villagers who are waiting in the darkness for Matthew Hopkins to come. And he's like, oh, are you guys hanging out in the dark for? Oh, sorry, we're waiting. Oh yeah, waiting for lawyer. Oh, weird, weird. Yeah, I'll tell the lawyer that I will hate at the end of this film, who will rape my missus, and I'll have a bloody vengeance for. I'll say, come down. I'll tell him you're waiting, and then he bumps into him, and he's like, "All right, oh, it's weird. You guys are what shitty village got once a fancy lawyer. Anyway, down there, off you pop, go fuck up my life." Brutal, unbearable, isn't it?
That's
Yeah,
sort of harsh.
all of the like, I don't know what the word I'm the like the sort of casual procedure to all of the stuff that happens, like even like the way you know they Hopkins and what's his
John Stern and Hopkins.
Goblin Man Stern, yeah,
Stern, yeah. Goblin man. Who did Abby, who did you think? You thought he was the bloke from Nightmare, didn't you? Initially when you first saw him.
Ooh,
Nasty.
nast.
Yeah, they turn up and they just very matter of factly explain what's happening, what they're gonna do. Like it's treated with such a kind of callous casualness.
Yeah, because there's the explanation at the start of the film is that there's a bit of political ambiguity due to the Civil War, and so who's in charge? There is a parliament, who's official? I think in Matthew Hopkins isn't legitimate in the film, but also in real life he wasn't a legitimate witch finder. It was just he called himself that, and he had an officialness to him, but it wasn't.
Yeah, he just faked it till he m
Yeah.
made it. Faked it till he
Maked it, yes, that's right.
maked
Yeah, he put it, but he sort of assigned himself in many ways, I
it. Yeah,
think.
which he—that's also how his whole witch hunting thing works. It's just because he says, and
I'm
everyone
in a
goes,
big
"All
hat
right,
with fancy clothes. I'm on a
yeah."
horse. What you fucking? Who else you could listen to? Yeah, if you act the part, isn't it? Act the part. What's it? Dress for the part you want, the job you
Dress for
want.
the job you want.
Yeah.
So put a big hat on and then accuse people of being witches.
Big boots, big hat, big cape. If you can manage it, get a couple of buckles going. That's always good.
Oh,
If,
huge buckles.
yeah, he didn't in this, but I felt like this was the time,
Richard
wasn't
did.
it? Yeah, I mean, the buckles across on the belt, you know, like
Yeah,
gun belt or
fucking
whatever.
cartoonishly big buckle.
Yeah, well.
How do you do that? Like, how do you, like, I can't imagine even threading that in.
How do you buckle under the pressure? I know. Right, yes. Anyway, suffice to say, they set up Richard as like a competent soldier. He gets promoted in the film. He's saved his boss's life. And generally, everything's working out nice for him. He's got a fiance coming. He's always daydreaming about her, but also she's absolutely into him. And he's got a very likable, what is it, her uncle? Not
Yeah,
quite a
it's her uncle,
father-in-law,
yeah.
is it? But his uncle-in-law. Who is a minister or something is very nice. And what I liked it when he goes to visit his fiance and his uncle figure. This guy, he's in the church or whatever, and he's like, "Oh, hi, come in, have some food and all that." And what's great about him, he's like, "You should like marry her and take her away because I'm worried there's witch hunters. I won't get into it, but there's witch hunters coming and I'm a bit scared. I'm being accused of things, and I think it's going to get dicey. So take her away as soon as you can, please." And then he absolutely is like, "I'll obviously leave you two to fucking, a couple of young lovers. I'll excuse myself." Like he's a really cool guy, isn't he? Like
Yeah.
he's chill about it. And they're premarital shenanigans go on in this film, albeit in a weird layered montage. Pretty fun. Did everyone like how fucking horny for each other these characters were?
It's a real holdover from, well, actually, I say from the 1960s, just because this is 1968, actually. It's very of the 1960s where people were still fucking sob indiscriminately.
It wasn't like
Yeah.
it wasn't like Carry On, was Carry On up the witch burning, was it? It wasn't like ooh, chitties. It was like it was like proper, like people who love each
tasteful,
other. Yeah.
tasteful sex scene, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of innuendo, a little bit didn't your uncle said you a young woman should go to bed early. So
Your uncle
you
said
should.
I should give you a right seeing too.
Yeah, he basically did, didn't he? He's like,
Yeah.
I'll excuse myself so you can absolutely ravish your fucking girlfriend. And they did. They were like, I just love the way, maybe it's because my name's Richard as well. So a buxom woman being like, oh, Richard. Like, oh, if I could get that level of love from anyone. No comment, didn't Yeah. But yeah, it wasn't gratuitous sex. It was just a like refreshing level of horniness from the two, I think.
That's the other thing I was surprised by with this film, that I think I had an expectation because it was a horror film from the late 60s. It already had some connotations of, like, tongue-in-cheek stuff because of Vincent Price. I was also expecting it to be a bit more like,
Exploitative.
like a little bit more lascivious and like horny, and like
Yeah.
it like very much wasn't. Like,
Yeah, the
even the sex
exploitation.
scene there
Yeah.
is pretty like it's shot quite artfully. It's not gratuitous in any particular way, and like there's no like that's the only positive sex that happens in the film, because there's more sex in the film that is very much not.
It was also, I thought it was quite touching in a way that once things go rather shittily for Sarah, his Richard's fiance, and like the Reverend Uncle guy, once she's been through this stuff we talk about, he's also like, she's been raped and kind of gives herself to Vincent Price to try and get mercy for her uncle, essentially. And
Yeah.
then Richard finds out and is angry, but he also is loves her back, and he isn't like, oh, you've sullied now, like you'd expect. You're a used woman. I can't think. He's literally like, I love you, let's get married. Like, he literally marries her, and he gets married. Like, he takes her after she's explained what happened, takes her traumatized, kneels down in the like vandalized church, marries her, but also swears a blood vengeance
Yeah.
on Matthew Hopkins in the same breath. And so he's like, he kisses her and tells her, I love you, and that you should take care, and gives her money to go stay somewhere safe because he's still in the army and he can't just fuck off. So it was like a nice, refreshing, like, oh, this guy's all right. Like, it's not the woman's fault, like so often plays out in history and in fiction, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right there, actually. It sort of passed me by a little bit, but yeah, he's just, he feels sorry for her and he doesn't let it get in the way of their life.
Yeah, that's I. Yeah, I was also surprised by that, because whenever he comes back and she says what she did in order to try and get some kind of leniency, I thought it was going to be, oh, well, now is he gonna I don't know, like turn on her kind of thing because of this.
Will he
So it
lose?
was
She because
nice
she's
that.
probably like she's probably worried he'd like lose respect for her, or not, not be as kind to her or whatever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because she's lowered it. Because she's the way she does it as well. She's very canny. Like, when Matthew Hopkins comes, I guess this is worth talking about. So Matthew Hopkins rocks up. The villagers that have off screen fallen out with this minister guy. They knock on the door and are like, hello, are you who you say you are? And then it's like, we're going to start torturing you to find out if you're a witch. Basically, we're going to torture you till you say you're a witch so we can
Yeah.
get paid. And also, while we're here, it might be beneficial to us if we find some women who are preferably hot to be accused of
Yeah.
witches, because we can torture and rape them. And so a whole lot of shit happens, and she comes. She's like some peasant man with a terrible bit of accent comes and gets her. She's out somewhere enjoying her life until then, in a meadow or something. And so she comes, and she quite quickly figures out that she can't, shouldn't say she is who he thinks. Like, oh, I'm not, isn't this, but I am Sarah. And Hopkins implies, maybe if you. What's he say?
Yeah.
He's like, what's the his phrasing is like, if you have some proof or some, if you could persuade me that he's not like a
Yeah.
witch. And by persuade, I mean we could meet up for you to persuade my dick with your mouth or something. And so but she takes the bait and is like, yes, if you let him go now and stop torturing him,
Yeah.
I will meet you, brackets, fuck you, later. But you have to release him now and spare him. Maybe just prison. She's not even stupid enough to say, like, oh, let him go.
Let him
It's
go,
like,
yeah.
prison? Stall for time? And I'll like so she's willing. She's quite quick to become like a sort of prostitute herself, but in a canny way, not in like a thick bimbo way. Like in a in a like she knows the
It's not even,
stakes.
yeah, it doesn't come across as like even like, it's not like
She's
cowardice or desperation. She's just,
no.
she's really smart and kind of brave about it.
Yes. Yeah. And that's like that's good commendable in like she's not quite she's still a, what's it called when you're like a princess stolen by a dinosaur and a plumber comes after you what's what
Damsel in distress.
damsel in distress yeah well she's still a damsel in distress but she's canny and I think it was just really good that the character treats it like the when her hair when her hero her husband to be comes he's like fucking. He doesn't bat an eyelid as old Richard before he's like, I'll fucking kill him and I love you. And whoa, I'm fuming. Let's do this.
Tamping.
Yeah. And then the plot is interesting in a way because essentially what gets in the way of him stopping Matthew Hopkins, who travels around, being a cunt, is he has to go back and be in the RV. He's like in
Yeah.
danger of being accused of desertion if he pursues this too much because he's got duties and stuff. But he's thought of in high regard in the army, so there's some leniency. But he's basically told, like, you got to do your time in the army. You can't just stay with your wife and protect her, So it's that sort of gets in the way a little bit. And, but it's also a help because he has like soldier bros to sort of have his back occasionally.
Yeah, they really saved his bacon in the end.
Yeah, there's some proper heroes in this, but it's not without its exploitation of like, tragedy and torture and all this, so.
For a lot of the film, I did think like one of my sort of criticisms that I had like forming as the film went on was that Richard was a bit too like good. Like just extremely handsome, competent man on a justified revenge mission.
Yeah.
But then once it gets to the end, I kind of I think they were doing that on purpose so that what happens to him ultimately is more tragic or
Yeah, it's
shocking because he goes from that to like just monstrous, insane person.
he's been the injustice has taken its toll to the point
Yeah,
where he's
well, and the
become a
torture.
maniac. Yeah, I get the torture at the end, sure. I think up until then, he's cocky and confident. He probably should be a bit more. He's hurt by it, but he's not like he's not worried about this prick. I mean, after all, it is just some fucking, duplicitous lawyer figure who he's no threat to Richard. He might be able to pull a gun on him, but fundamentally he's a soldier. He's not afraid of him physically.
Yeah.
Even John Stern, he batters the fuck out of.
Yeah.
So he's got a kind of
They
rage
don't
and sorry, go on.
it wasn't a thing then, but it's kind of got like a PTSD thing going to it where
Yeah.
he got triggered by the whole experience and sort of
Yeah.
went into kill mode.
Yeah, it's almost like Rambo or something, isn't it? Like where he just sees red and
Yeah.
can't stop himself.
The
But
first Rambo, not the
any of the shit Rambos that miss the point.
Yeah. A good one.
Yeah. First Blood.
That's the one.
Yeah, so I think that just when you're thinking maybe he's like you say, Jamie, oh maybe he's a bit too much of a goody two shoes hero, there's a darker tragedy to his fighting on. And also, I guess the other thing that made him stop being a true baby face is he says he doesn't care about his orders that much. He's to do his orders, but then also if they fall in line with him checking on his wife and finding Matthew Hopkins and good, and he's going to do that. He's going to pursue simultaneously his orders and his own revenge mission. And when he's confronted as to like, well, that wouldn't be legal to just kill him. He's like, give a fuck, mate. Like,
Yeah.
that's not going to. What's the magistrate going to say? They ain't going to get to that. That's not. Ain't going to concern myself with the magistrate. It's going to be, fuck you, buddy. strangle him to death or whatever he wants to do. So he is. There's like a. There's an edge to him that he's. His priority is the oath to the Lord and his wife. Because it's his own justice. He says himself, like, he's going to do the Lord's justice and his own justice. This is he's going to kill an evil man, so he's justified. But like, God is also no killing, thanks. So how much everyone like starts quoting they're doing it for God when they want to justify murder, though, don't they?
Yeah, I was going to say God's rules appear to be inconsistent at best.
Yeah, let's not have a Bible discussion right now. But suffice to say, he sees it as his duty and pledges to God while marrying his wife, as I say. So yeah, he isn't a perfect character. And what would you want to Jimmy from the end if he calm and collectively dispatches justice and doesn't go mad with it?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's
Yeah.
Like retroactively looking back on it, I like what they do to set up the contrast to what happens to him at the end.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the ending because it is worth it. Can we get to he does have justice before the fun, all the fun witch hunting and nearly misses that we have. The end is essentially, Sarah's caught and the classic approach for the witch finder method is, oh, don't think I'm a legitimate witch finder, do you? Well, you're a witch, so fuck you.
Yeah.
Gonna kill me? You're every answer to every question is, well, you're a witch then.
Yeah,
And
it's essentially if you admit you're a witch, then obviously we'll kill you. But if you don't admit you're a witch, that means you're lying and you're a witch and we'll kill you.
yeah.
Like, there's no way out. Like,
It's really weird that no one just went to Matthew Hopkins and went, "You're a witch?" Right, oh yeah, good point. Got him. No one turned it on him. Successfully, I guess it's to do with who you are. If you've got the magistrate in your back pocket or whatever.
history's first ever noted use of "know you" in an argument.
No, you're a witch. Yeah, I mean, like, you're a witch. We will prove it by torturing you. Ah, then you're a witch? I've called it now. So do we torture you after you torture me? Or when does this end? No, that leaping logic never gets questioned. But yeah, essentially, Richard saves his wife from being, I don't know, branded with a crucifix,
Well,
and tortured.
she goes and hides out in another town, and Matthew Hopkins and Stern end up there
I
also
don't. I think with the
witch
very,
hunting.
very end, we'll re-lead back to the end. But I'm just talking about the change in character for
Oh, what
Richard.
actually? Okay, yeah.
Just the when he eventually, like he's being unshackled in order to come closer, to be forced closer to his wife who's being tortured, and he manages to break free and kill Matthew Hopkins with an axe, and he's brutally axe murdering him. And then his mate guards come in, like his soldiers who broken their way in and got past the couple of guards there. They like one of them mercy shoots Hopkins, who's been being attacked with an axe, and then Richard's like, "You took him from me." He's
Yeah.
like screaming about he wanted to kill him because he promised him. And I mean, technically, you didn't. I mean, you look pretty dead, I guess. And then his wife is screaming, and it's just like, yeah, the real. You may have got vengeance, but you like your life is still ruined and traumatizes him. You don't even know why Sarah's, you don't know if Sarah's screaming from the torture, the fact that he's reacting this way, the fact that this is all pretty fucked. Like it's
I
just
think it's that. I think ultimately it's the her like she's just gone mental because of it, because
it's
fuck,
so
it's a
horrible.
lot.
Plus, if you have a whole movie of screaming, you've got to end it with screaming, haven't you?
Yeah.
It only had one place to go. But
I did
yeah,
like, well, like might be a strong word, but I appreciated that as the credits rolled and the sort of softer music played, you could still hear the screaming.
it may be a questionable horror film, but it's a horrific film, definitely, of sorts. But yeah, winding back before all of the ending happens, there's some really interesting scenes of witch torture, alleged suspected witch torture. There's all sorts of shit that goes on, including like we meet Cromwell, and we also get like Matthew Hopkins and John Stern get in trouble with the army. There's all sorts that happens before that climactic moment, which I think kind of worked. I think it made it more was a respectable ending to what had been a torture fest of a film. But there's things worth pointing out and talking about, I think, before then. Where do we leave off? Essentially, the minister was the first victim that we saw. Oh no, after the hanged woman in it, like the character we get to know, this fairly nice minister. They put like John Stern is the torturer, right? He's the sort of heavy of Matthew, and his thing is torture, right? He's into torture and also wenches and stuff. He's a kind of sadist, isn't he? Is that the right word? Psychopath or whatever. Abby, what did you think of John Stern as a character, sort of a bowl haircutted thug?
Like, a horrendous man, but at the same time, he was honest about it. It was like, I don't care about kings, I don't care about Cromwell, I'm here just doing my shit.
I found a nice beat. I found a nice like out like I get paid to do what my passion, which is being a massive torturer. And he doesn't even he has an interesting relationship with Matthew Hopkins. Matthew Hopkins is the kind of the formal face of it. He's the sophisticated mildly psychological aspect of justifying and lawyering it. He's sort of guising it in legality and expertise. And John is the kind of heavy. So always with Hopkins, in contrast, he keeps up the guise more, doesn't he? It's only with John Stern that Hopkins like talks the truth with, which is we know what we have to do. We have to accuse people of being witches and stay out of trouble and make money. But to everyone else, like Hopkins is presenting as a respectable someone doing good, right? You're getting rid of the evil witches who worship Satan from good Christian villages. And but they're not they know they work with each other, they're mutually beneficial, but they also don't care about each other that much. They're not like I think John Stern says, we weren't friends, we're just colleagues,
I
mutually.
like that they have, they kind of have a sort of antagonistic relationship. They sort of put up with each other, but it's not like it's a, you could tell either, well, it happens later on, like they will stab each other in the back.
But also, they don't like when they do part ways due to saving each other's skins. They get back together, and then like one of the canny things that Matthew Hopkins does when John Stern's angry is like, "You left me with like a bunch of military blokes to die. You fucked off on your horse and left me. Fuck you." He's like, "Well, you can. I've got a gun on you, and you can have some of the money that you haven't earned, dickhead, and to do the sensible route and join me again." Or you could be a fucking cunt and die, and you know what I mean? Like, and then Johnson's like, "Yeah, I was like, fair enough then." And like that, so there's the canny witch finder, and then the sort of the muscle, and they have a really interesting relationship. We see develop, not develop, but play out. You know, it is interesting. I mean, what about Hopkins then? Vincent Price is this old rapist with a big hat. What do you make of him?
Well, the strangest thing about it is he has this sort of really camp gay energy,
And
and
Vincent
then he's
Price
just
brings to
endlessly
Lottables.
fucking women.
Was
Yeah,
sinister.
I don't know. Like, Vincent Price wasn't gay.
He's a thespian, I think. He's the thespian
Yeah,
energy.
he's there. There is, but there is a campness to him.
Plus,
Apparently, he
being a
did.
lawyer is a bit like, because he's the less hands-on one. He's more of, he's more, he's got a gun, but he's not going to throw fists with you, is he?
Yeah, he's like effete a little bit, and
That's the word.
but there is definitely like there was always a sort of campness to Vincent Price generally that he sort of leaned into, that
And
it.
Jimmy, you mentioned you thought he really suited the role. Abby, do you agree that this was a really good role for Vincent Price?
I think it was really interesting for him to be cast in the role. This sort of like power in a very political sense was how he found his way in the world. There's no physical strength to the man per se.
Yeah, very cowardly in a way as well. It's a very coward, like you're victimizing the least liked people in the village and the weakest, the most vulnerable people. So it's not like you're a tough guy. You're literally picking on the meek people. So you think so? So we all agree Vincent Price was really good for this, despite it being forced on the director.
I don't know why. It's also one of those things, like, for whatever reason, an actor gets forced on you. If the actor themselves is a professional, then you
Yeah.
don't really have a problem, you have an inconvenience.
Yeah. I think the only thing I read was that he got injured on the horse early on, and the director's like, good, it'll make you more mean as a cat. If you're suffering as an actor, it'll make you more appropriate for the role.
Proper British directing, that is.
The other thing I learned is catering didn't turn up one day, like the catering truck for the film. And so Vincent Price drove in his car to go get loads of food from a local
Yeah.
place for everyone. That's really cool, isn't it?
That he paid for just with
Just
his
paid for.
money. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice guy. Not a witch finder at all. Nice.
No, everything I have read about Vincent Price makes it seem like he was like he had some iffy stuff really early in his career that but he then that was like addressed and
What do you mean, iffy
like
stuff?
he was like at least according to stuff on his Wikipedia, and I think it's in a book about him, he was initially one of the like pro-Hitler Americans.
Jesus,
Like
very, very.
when like whenever
This.
Hitler was like on his rise, like post, Weimar Republic and building
Right.
Germany back up and all that stuff. But once like shit hit the fan,
It was like, oh, I see. Yeah.
yeah, and then for the rest of his life he went really hard the other way.
Good.
And he also became very like outspoken about like racism. He was very like pro
Good.
LGBT and like very, very outspoken about all of it. Like he
And
and
on the set of this film, apparently he was the sandwich finder general, which is really cool, isn't it?
yeah.
So I'm glad that really pulled up for, oh God, he likes Hitler to turn it
Yeah,
out.
no, yeah. It's
Phew.
rare that you can say that someone initially liked Hitler but really turned it around.
Yeah, probably I was worried the voice of Rattigan had let me down, but yeah.
No,
Yeah.
you're totally fine to love Vincent Price forever.
That's good. Yeah, I don't know. It worked for me. And I think what I got on with, what I liked about this film is you got these three solid performances. Richard is quite good, if a little bit more of a plain baby face. But you're rooting for him because of the injustice. And then Sarah's, the woman who plays Sarah's, does. You know, it's not as interesting a role, but she does the requisite
I,
amount of
she has a really
manipulating
difficult
and yeah.
role in this film because she has to be raped and scream a lot.
And be hot as well. She's got to maintain her hotness.
She's got it, but also like
Be
her character has to do some horrible stuff and is also has
yeah.
horrible stuff done to her. So
Yeah.
it's a hell of a thing to, perform in a way that doesn't come off as just the victim.
Yeah, it was really good that she was a canny woman as well. That helped. It's just really, it's just they intercutted the film not only with like, oh shit, we've got to get horses again, but it was also Richard fucking his wife throughout as well. That's pretty, torture, 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 horrible stuff in a village where off the awful villains get away with stuff. Oh, Richard's gonna check in on his wife. Well, while I'm here, I think I'll fuck you, right? Hell yeah, let's fuck again. You know, they really like just this, like, you know, honeymoon period. Like, let's be fucking between every time we meet up. It's like, God, I missed you. I've been in the army and worried about you, and here you are. And sure, let's do it. Oh, like, oh, right, no, that's happened. Let's have horror again, please. But anyway, like, we have these three characters, or four, you know, I guess, and they all have their own problems going on. It's not like me versus you. It's, you know, Matthew Hopkins and John Stern doing their thing, and but running into problems against the army in general, and being, you know, concerned that they have to do the torturing and get out of the village and move on. And you know, they and then Richard's got his own shit going on where he can't fully investigate and go after them. So, you know, we are doing witch torture where, like, what was the, so the, you know, Reverend guy gets killed. He is eventually he's put in prison for a bit, and then Matthew Hopkins is kind of like, well, yeah, don't torture him, John, while I'm away getting more jobs, torturing people. Don't torture him. I did fuck a girl for this, basically. And John Stern's like, you fucking, I'm on to you, buddy. I know what you're doing. You're off again, are you, Matthew? Fucking know your game, don't I? But then John's busy, you know. Oh well, I've got young women to hit in the face, so I'm happy. But they do put to death the Reverend eventually, betraying the sex pact.
Well, what happens is the things get even more horrendous for Sarah because once Stern works out why
Oh
Hopkins was
yeah.
going easy on the Reverend, he pays a visit to Sarah after Hopkins is away and also has a go. And then
Yeah.
when Hopkins comes back, he basically goes, oh well, she's ruined now. May as well kill him then. Like, it's so
I changed my
callous.
mind. Yeah, it's really brutal. I'd forgotten about that second ring.
Ah.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I don't know, man. It's pretty fucked up. I think at that point I might have worried, oh, is it this what it's going to be? Is this essentially rape fantasies for like disgusting directors? You know, I was like, wait, did Michael Winner write this? Or who loves getting busty women naked and violence and things? But it did. They then move on, leaving a perfectly valid reason for Richard to go after them. And I've talked about that. So essentially, what do they go? Do they go to Lavisham or somewhere? Don't they? That's the next port of call, right? I've never heard of Lavisham. Has anyone been to or heard of Lavisham? Is that still a place in the UK?
Lavenham, you mean?
Oh, sorry. Oh, local boy knows the names of places.
It is a real place, yes. It's in
Lavenham.
Suffolk. It's weird, but also kind of works hearing Vincent Price say all of these names.
It does. It still kind of looks ye olde as well, looking at a few pictures,
That's
isn't it?
most
Lavenham.
like places in the UK.
In Kent or
Yeah,
Suffolk, I
especially
guess.
there.
I don't know if this, I don't think all the locations were legit. I guess they just pick based on what looks right
Yeah.
for that time period and make them up that way. I don't know. I don't have a heap to say about the locations. They choose the odd place to have an interesting scene. Like the witch dunking scene happens, doesn't it? Where
Ugh, yeah.
there's some villagers are rounded up, just, you know, our old one. And oh, it's with the priest, and they dunk him, don't they? And they like do the classic, right. So what's the idea? Witches, you dunk them in the
Witches
water.
float. So if you sink and drown, you're not a witch. Congratulations, you're innocent. If you float, you are a witch and we're going to kill you.
But it's because you've done a pact with the devil. It's all like because you're working with the devil, if you're a witch, if you get stabbed in something that doesn't hurt you, you're a witch. That's one, that's why they get
Yeah, but
forked.
also if it does hurt, we'll find a way to make it out that that was also you're a witch.
Yeah, they don't get into it, but if you have a mark on you, it's basically where your demonic pet suckles at your tit or something.
Yeah,
So
we
you
have
have,
familiar suckles.
oh no, the devil's mark on you. So if you've got
That's
anything
it.
vaguely like birthmark or a scar or a wart in
Yeah.
somewhere, that's the devil's
And
like, oh, the way I'll tell you is I won't mark you with a D for devil or whatever.
if you
I'll
don't have
fucking.
one, if you don't have an obvious birthmark or whatever, then we'll use this needle to find the invisible one.
Yeah, that's right.
Fucking
But
hell.
I don't know, like, so the devil makes some weird bargains with his, like, so what? The devil's in hell and he hates God and Jesus and wants to fuck with people. So he's like, right, there's some people on earth who are on my side. I'll give them special deals. I'll give them powers, magic powers, and then they'll do my bidding. So they, first of all, I'll put my mark on them and then I'll save them from drowning. What are the fucking rules of the devil in these weird witch bargains he
Yeah,
makes?
it all seems strangely arbitrary.
It's almost like someone's fucking making them up on the spot to do whatever they want. They're really bad as well. It's not even like Matthew Hopkins came up with some good rules that are like, that's a good clever one
I
that you
know,
could. It's like not a
that's what
good lawyer trick, is it? It's like just bullshit that makes no
yeah,
sense.
that's what makes me fucking mental. Like it's child arguments.
And then it's just all it is like a village of people who are like, yeah, I don't like him, so I know that doesn't make sense, but as long as it's not me being dunked in the water, cool.
It's the equivalent of whenever a kid in school used to ask you, "You chops in a what?" You're like, oh, well,
There's no
it
right
does
answer to
not
this.
matter if I say yes or no, does it? Like,
Yeah.
both answers are wrong.
They don't really get into some other movies about witch hunting. I've seen a few. I watched like Witchhammer, which is a really good one about
Hell
finding
of a name.
witches. Yeah, it's a Scandi film, I think. I'm not sure what off the top of my head what country it was set in. But the problem that it's always about mob mentality. This one was the only subtly hint at the fact that it's the
Yeah.
mob. There's a really good scene where they like tip a woman into a burning fire, and there's a bonfire.
Fuck
They
me.
like, and then Matthew Hopkins is like, I got this great idea for a new way to cleanse the earth of
I
witches.
love that he pitches it. I love that there's a scene with him actually like pitching an idea.
I want to lower them on a like a get them on a ladder, lower it
Ugh.
face first into the fire. That's cool. And while the mob are watching, we have I guess the husband of the woman who's being burnt alive screaming.
Elizabeth.
Yes, say your name. But also,
I
like,
totally thought that guy and Richard were going to form like a duo, like they were going to yeah. suddenly become like the Mag Seven.
Just seven aggrieved husbands, is that what you mean? Or when they set up in a village and they set loads of booby traps and get a witch
Oh
fire.
my God.
Would be amazing.
But
But
yeah.
there's like I was gonna say is there's children who are being like, oh, maybe cover their eyes. There's all the fact that people are out, you're obviously gonna watch the witch burning or
Yeah, they're
hanging.
just out watching it like it's a normal thing you go out and watch. It's yeah.
And
Taking the kids to a witch burn-in.
they included a woman who looked pretty pleased with herself, like, oh, this is the woman in the village who didn't like her.
Yeah.
Like they and then a few people are like, gormless or shocked or pleased or like there's a nice myriad of expressions, but they clearly hint like the dirty children and the kid picking sucking his thumb, and it's like a nice group, and you go, yeah, a few of you are real sadists as well. You're
Yeah.
not doing the dirty work, but you're like, this was my Machiavellian plan to get rid of the people who,
That
pissed me off in
particular
church or something.
fucking method of burning someone is horrendous, and also is in the fucking Silent Hill movie that we did previously
Nice. And then to
when
have
they
the husband there as well, to held back screaming, like,
yeah.
you guys didn't decide he was a witch just to shut him up. Like, come on, knock it off. He's clearly going to be aggrieved.
I think
But
one
yeah.
of the things, again, speaking of like how kind of shockingly stark the film is
Yeah.
versus what I was expecting, is how much of the violence, obviously they don't go like all in on and showing like all of the torture that was used on people, but
Yeah.
when they do show stuff, they really like just show it, like they really like. You see, and obviously there's a prop needle that he's using to poke him and stuff, but like that woman being lowered onto the fire, they fully just show.
A dummy going into a fire as if it
Yeah,
was
and
him,
like
yeah.
there's no like, they don't like cut away and it's not suggested or anything. It's just like, nope, there it is. It's
Yeah.
there. And like you mentioned it earlier, the bit where Richard goes at Hopkins with an axe. Like, yeah, it's the actor beating
Yeah.
Vincent Price with a prop axe, but like it's done in like full, like it's they just point the camera at it and like
Yeah.
it's just fucking him hammering him with an axe. Like
Yeah.
it's really stark. Fucking Stern getting his eye jabbed out with the
Yeah.
heel of
Yeah.
Richard's boot. That was the one that I found the most satisfying. I thought the axe was
Sure.
almost too merciful.
Well, this is a man who is like, you dunk three witches, and then when one of them drowns, you're like, oh, she was innocent.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's hang these other ones. And it's like, that's that. And then the literal holding the bags of silver, and then fucking off out of the town, very cartoon villain, wasn't it? But yeah, like, there's, it is earnestly brutal what it
Yeah.
wants to be. Because, in essence, these people, some of them were beaten, and then a lot of it's just they starve you and keep you awake, and they shackle
Yeah.
you. Anyone, like just anyone in just a prison for one of those shit prisoners for 5 minutes, you'd be like, this is bollocks.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a reaction to when the minister's put in prison, what did you say?
Oh, no, I'd be better off dead than the treatment he's gonna get in there.
Yeah, just
Oh,
getting
yeah.
shackled up permanently in a tiny, grotty hovel. And then some guard comes who's also some sort of casual sadist, throws some food at you, he's half eating. You can't even pick it up to eat it. It's just like, yeah, it isn't. Why would you? I guess the hope is he'll be rescued, but yeah, he's God's pretty much. Oh, and it was so brutal when Matthew Hopkins is about to execute him. He's like, "May God forgive you." I was like, "Oh,
Oh, you fuck it,
oh." So I think it has these moments that are just so bittersweet and awful and like horrific and surprising. And then, you know, it's the only thing that makes it easier to watch is the fact it's a bit hokey looking, isn't it? You can
yeah,
take it when it's
it being a
fake.
bit dated kind of saves it from just being like so
Yeah.
grim that you're like, I just almost I wish I hadn't watched
Yeah,
it because.
it's not on the level of like what's that film, like the Serbian movie or film or whatever it's
Oh
called, where
God,
it's
a Serbian
just
film.
yeah, it's not that, it's not like I can't watch this, it's so horrible. It's like if it, I mean that era, that what Matthew Hopkins did is about as horrible as that movie.
Yeah.
But you know, more watchable due to it being like a 60s movie with sets and things rather
And
than
a very bright, contrasty color palette.
yeah.
Everything's very colorful.
So another scene I quite like that isn't torturing people is when they're in the woods, and I guess some of the military know about now what's happened to Rich's wife and what's going on, and his friends are sort of, they're basically stealing horses, like the army is stealing horses for Cromwell's side
Yeah.
because they run out because they die in battle or whatever. And so they'll rob whoever's coming by and justify it as it's for the good cause. Our side, the correct side, are quite requiring horses. So Cromwell has to tell John Stern, "Oh, don't fucking run away. I know if they find out who we are, we'll be in trouble. But like, let's just go with it. We'll talk our way out of this." And then the army
Wait, you
guy's
mean
like,
Hopkins, not Cromwell?
"What's wrong with me saying Cromwell all the
We
time?"
do see Cromwell in the film, and he looks like the villain from
Yes, he does, doesn't he?
Shrek.
I know Cromwell's a bit of a knobhead, but they obviously wanted to go, and so the actor must have silly things on his face because Cromwell had weird face lumps or something. That's not, and it also, it's weird to see, the only scene we get with Cromwell is he's really going on about how fucking sweet food is, and you're like, weren't you famously a big fuddy-duddy, but you love food, and after, yeah, just talking to all his men like he's fucking cool, and they're all, you know, I mean, they have to be. They have to respect him. I suppose he's in charge. But so, you know, I don't know how necessary it was to have a celebrity cameo in Cromwell. I guess they just threw him in because it's one of the famous characters of history. And we had a reference to Charles I running away. But fundamentally, it has an interesting thing where John Stern and Matthew Hopkins fall out and get back together, and get back into the witch hunting business, and really just evade getting into trouble through being allegedly the authority on matters. Like villagers, like the magistrates and people are happy for them to be there. It's like exciting. The man from, you know, some big city has come to, you know, take charge and kill people we don't like. So it's kind of fucked. But it's just full of those wonderful moments of scheming and planning and getting away and narrow misses. Oh, probably actually one scene we've got to talk about. It was really good. Aside from all that, the action sequence where Richard is investigating and finds John Stern in a tavern, finds out who he is, and John Stern's like, "Oh, are you looking for me? How's it going?" And then Richard's like, "Unlucky son, I fucking hate your ass," and beats the fuck out of him as a barroom brawl that they clatter all the fucking furniture, and he beats the shit out of him, elbow drops him, tombstones him, 3Ds him through a table, all that good stuff. Twist of fate. He did everything. And then the fucking landlord twats him with like a mug or something.
fucker.
And fair enough, though. This soldier comes in and starts beating up one of your customers who's been
Yeah, it's
lying drunk on
gross.
the floor with prostitutes and stuff. You would, wouldn't you? Is that you agreed, Jimmy? Fucking too right. I quite liked it when the landlord tries to take him to the magistrate and then Richard's like, "Oh, is it? Elbow! Fuck
I
you!" Twatting with a sword bit. Did you guys appreciate the, you know, bit of fun? You know, there was a horse chase as well. Did we like a bit of action in our movie to break it up from torture?
did appreciate any moment that was not torture, yes.
Any moment
Men
that
screaming
wasn't
for a change.
screaming.
Yeah. Also, just it was weird but kind of fun to see some really like stagey 60s fighting in the film. Just big punches
Yeah, a bit, some of them very fake, but
and people
enjoyable.
like slowly falling over.
Yeah. It really shit John Stern up as well. Like he's when he escapes narrowly and quickly, and he's like, "I'm going too right, I'm running away." And then he
Yeah.
bumps into Matthew Hopkins on the road and is like, "Fuck it, we got to get out of here." Hopkins is a bit more calm and don't worry, we'll accuse him of being a witch and that. But John Stern's like, well, "Fuck me, mate!" Like he's genuinely like, "You could get killed by the
He
army. I don't
smacked the
think
shit
you're
out of me.
really hard."
Yeah,
He's a small guy, but he fucking throws a punch. But I did like. I like they change it up a bit and have that dynamic, and it does. Hopkins is even more of a prick because he manages to talk John Stern would have given up. He wouldn't have had the guts to do it for as long if Hopkins hadn't been so calculated and fortunate, isn't it? Just any of the stuff where they get into trouble, they get out of it. It's just oh, it really keeps you, it's really dramatic and excited and good. I think that's what stopped it from being a bit humdrum. I know, Abby. So you saying? Overall thoughts, it was a bit meh. Was it a bit too much of
It's
the same
not
thing?
that. Yeah, it's like the story in and of itself was fine. It was more the choices they made to not mix things up a bit. Like we talked about the screaming and how exhausting it was. If they had paced the film slightly differently, that wouldn't have been as much of a problem.
Yeah,
And yeah, it's.
all you're given really is torture and frustration and the occasional shag and asking about horses. So it is like, what do you want from a film? Do you want constant screaming and torture and malicious evil?
It's very point A to point B to point C, the end.
Yeah. So Jamie, did you enjoy it overall then?
Don't know if I would say enjoy.
There's a You don't like the rape and torture? What's wrong with you? Think it was well
I,
made to say a good film.
yeah, I like it is, it's good. I can see why it has gone on to be a bit of a sort of cult favorite and influenced a lot of like I know there's quite a few filmmakers, especially now. Like I can see a line from this film to like the kind of horror films that like A24 make
Sure.
or make, but get made or produce. Like there's a sort of folk horror subgenre that has re-emerged in recent years, and films like this and The Wicker Man and stuff like that.
Yeah,
Like the
definitely.
original Wicker Man, not the Nicolas Cage one.
Yes.
Sort of the seeds were planted a long time ago with this film and films like it. And now I think we're seeing more of that influence. Like we did Field in England a while
Yeah.
back, similar kind of thing.
A field in England with people with big hats and yeah.
Yeah.
No,
They broke it up with what, psychedelic mushrooms?
that one was broken up with
Yeah.
psychedelic mushroom shit. And also I guess pseudo witchcrafty related, but was it like paganist, magic-y, well, suggestions of supernatural stuff.
Yeah.
Horrific scenes of sorts, but more of a more psychedelic vibe, yeah.
Michael Smiley had a scrying mirror.
Pretty fun. Some big capes. Love it. Lovely hedge work. Both these films feature some lovely hedges.
but
Meadows.
yeah, I definitely kind of appreciate this film. Like I'm glad I think I'm particularly glad I watched it because it very much fits with my, I don't know how to put this, the archaeological dig of figuring out where the stuff I like came from kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. I think
Also like
also
your own personal filmic history. Yes.
it's a puzzle piece of your own taste.
Yeah.
Sure. I think what I like about it is that it stays. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of stupid ghost bullshit. I don't find it scary. But what is scary is real
Fuck
life
it.
history. Yeah, well, oh, the boogeyman did the headless horseman. Oh, so scary. Or
No, you're
a
right. This
prick who's going to
is
murder you because you didn't get on with your neighbor and he wants to make some money.
more kind of genuinely scary because it's based on stuff that happened and
Society.
has happened not even that long ago, and also in a lot of ways continues to happen.
In a different way, it does still happen all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't moved on from witch hunts and
Just this
scapegoating and
general
blaming people.
mentality. this way of arguing, like.
Yeah, or you come to this country on a raft, you are a witch. Get out, off to Rwanda or whatever. You know what I mean? It's that in the millions of different examples of this sort of bullshit going on all the time. Just blame someone for your life problems, and then someone makes money off of it. But yeah, it's just a really good piece. It's, you almost want to say you could show it in history class. It's a bit too perverse and awful for.
Well, and it also doesn't like
Isn't
this
exactly
isn't,
accurate. There's a departure into fantasy. But I mean, like, you know, in terms of to understand what Matthew Hopkins was up to and what it would have been like, this is a good fictional idea of it. It's like a, yeah, this is what witch hunting is about. It's about bullshit and suffering and people getting away with it. And this is how the manipulation worked. This is how people treated witch finders as well. I think there's a lot of stuff that is quite accurate to history, if not all the details of his story, you know. So you know, it's the spirit of history is in it quite accurately.
Also, like Vincent Price in particular is great in it.
Yeah, it's just like a nice thing that could have gone too exploitative or could have gone too stupid, but I think it plays it nicely. The actors are really responsible for bringing life to it where it could have been a bit too corny. It's just really good moments between characters. Yeah, I just like it. I was surprised by it as well. I wasn't quite sure what I was in for. So yeah, you can call me the Rich Finder General because I'm so good at finding legitimate rich finds. So,
We
yeah.
okay.
If you don't like my films from now on, it's because you're witches, I'll tell you that much. And if you do like them, it's because you're sensible.
We're
Because
also witches.
we
It's also because you're
also,
witches, because that's just the answer to everything.
If anything, if the film tells you anything, it's that being a witch finder is an easy fucking role to fill. It's like, are they a witch? Yes. Are they a witch? Yes. Every answer, sorry, that doesn't make sense, but the answer to every question is you're a witch. And if you don't like it, you're a witch. You know, there's two types of people in the world. There's witches and people who fucking agree with me that who I say is witches. That's it. Those are the two people. That's the point. That's the how you do it. Anyway, we've discussed Witchfinder General, and we found it tolerable in general. And please join us again for another chat about another film another time. Bye. Try not to get burnt at the stake or hung or tortured. Stay safe. Bye.
I was going to try and do a Vincent Price laugh, but I haven't practiced.
You have to pretend you're an angry rat who really hates a smug mouse and start maniacally laughing in your hot air balloon contraption that you cycle on and Big Ben. And there's a whole lot of shit in that film. Anyway, sorry, you're not going to do your laugh. Don't do it then. Bye. Say goodbye, everyone.
No.
Hi, everyone.